Here we go. Hour four of the nation. John Machota, The Athletic, joining us here in just a second. The text had a good idea that maybe we need an AI Bobby bit that just instantly steals all of Wolchuk's ideas and presents it to Sean and RJ.
I like that. That's a good bit.
What do we think?
I think Bobby could fire that off easy.
Here he is, longtime Cowboys beat writer, one of our favorites at The Athletic. John Machota here with you on your home of the Cowboys. And a good afternoon, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
We're doing excellent. Taking in the mini camp and everything. I'm trying to figure out where fans could be excited here as training camp approaches. And just looking at offensively, the most credible thing I've heard this week is the continuity on offense. And it's something I hadn't thought about, but how much is that worth to you when you get year two with Clayton Adams, Shoddy, and Dak and these receivers doing their thing?
Oh, I think that's huge. Yeah, you should definitely have that from year one to year two in an offense. And I would expect them to be just as good and probably better than they were last year. If they stay healthy. Because you tell me that they lose George Pickens or CeeDee Lamb, I could see the offense dropping off, certainly without Dak Prescott. But the other one, though, that's pretty important is Javonte Williams. And I don't know that they have another back on the roster right now that you could say, well, if Javonte goes down, we'll be fine and plug him in and the train will just keep rolling. So as of right now, if they're healthy, there's no reason, even with the questions that, you know, there are at left tackle, this should be one of the best, if not the best, offenses in the NFL in 2026.
Are you buying the Jaden Blue narrative as far as being more of a splash offensive player, an offensive role player, maybe not Javonte Williams backup style, but a guy that can help take this offense to the next level?
If we're being completely honest, I am not a huge fan of this time of the offseason. I feel like almost, I'm not going to say every single year, but in my 15 years covering the team, I feel like this time of year we get to see, and they do, less and less. And so because of that, I don't really buy into anything like that. And even... in talking to Clayton Adams today, you know, even he'll say it's tough to evaluate a running back when you don't have pads on. And, you know, he's doing all the right things, and that's all great, but you got to actually see it on the field. And so from what he can be doing up to this point, yeah, it does seem like he's ready for that, to take that next step. And I do think if, you know, he is the player they think he can be, then he'd be a great complement to Javonte Williams. And you know, even Clayton Adams talking about how much that can possibly open up more in the offense because of what kind of a pass-catching threat that Jaylen Blue is. But I have to see more. And to be honest with you, I've even gotten so, like, jaded about even training camp. Like, I love that they're practicing against two other teams. As soon as that schedule came out, Rams, Saints practice, I couldn't wait for that. Those are, like, if you told me that I can only attend two practices all training camp, it's those two and nothing's even close.
Yeah, it's Kool-Aid season, John. I mean, it's all good vibes right now. What have been your first impressions of seeing Christian Parker run the defense at minicamp, but also the rookie Caleb Downs?
Yeah, the way he has this practice structured a little bit defensively is different. The way he has groups moving from individual stuff early on, and I think he wants a defense, at least it appears, that is going to be very multiple, and the drills that he puts them through would make you think that. And so that's exciting. You know, I don't see this being any type of a like vanilla defense. I think that there is going to be a lot of moving parts. And to me, the best defenses I feel like I've watched, or the ones that I've been most impressed with, are really the heyday of Bill Belichick in New England, where, you know, from week to week, they're changing stuff up. And you can go into a game and game plan for something and it completely blows up in your face, but you're so good at what you do that you can flip the script in the mid game and you can still execute at a high level. And so I think that's why, you know, they went after Christian Parker, because they see that from him, that, you know, he's obviously young, hungry, but he brings that, you know, multiple type of a defense where it isn't going to be just, hey, we're this, everybody knows we're this, and you just, you know, try and score on us, we're just going to stop you. It's like, no, they're going to do it in a variety of different ways. And so that's exciting to see, you know, especially coming off of how bad they were last year.
John, you know, one of the things that we talk about on the offensive side of the ball, and you know, Bobby's been really loud about the idea that Ryan Flannoy could be a wide receiver too if George Pickens ends up leaving. Could you see that being the case? I don't, not many people are really talking about Flannoy that way, but I know Bobby mentioned that this morning.
Yeah, I'm not quite there yet. I do think Ryan Flannoy is a really good three, and I think that that top three is excellent. You know, they're in great shape there. I'm sure he could be fine as a two. You know, I mean, that's kind of, you know, makes me think of like, you know, when they drafted Michael Gallup, it was, you know, a three that could be a two. I think that that potential is there for Ryan Flannoy. I would have to see a little bit more, but certainly when his number was called last year, he showed you that, you know, he can handle even more than what they gave him. But I don't think I would love the offense as much as I do right now if you were without CeeDee Lamb or George Pickens.
John, when you look at this defense, though, and I was just, you know, the last few days of watching practice with you and stuff like that, notice the with Lawrence, they seem to have an idea of, like, you know, and I know that Ezeraku is out and he was working with the, you know, working in the drills and stuff today, but it seems like that they've kind of like they're giving Lawrence the first shot, at least through these couple of practices.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I would expect that to be the way it'll be once the season gets going. I mean, I think that it'll be, if everyone's healthy, Rashawn Gary and Donovan Ezeraku, but there'll be plenty of snaps for Lawrence. Yeah, I think Malachi Lawrence is in a great spot because if they only have one first round pick, you know, there's a lot of eyeballs just on him. If that pick was it, but our focus, I shouldn't say our, myself and a lot of others, mm-hmm. I feel like our focus goes quicker to Christian Parker and Caleb Downs, and maybe even some of the guys that they've had, like a Rashawn Gary. Like Malachi Lawrence is in a great spot where if he has like a great rookie season, and let's say he is a 8 to 10 sack guy or something, I mean, to me, that's just like, that can be icing on the cake. Like, I don't think the expectation is that, you know, he should be like that right away. He could be. But yeah, I can see them giving him every opportunity and playing him in the preseason to see what he can do with that role. I mean, he certainly looks the part. I mean, the height, the length, the movement, and all of that. I mean, he's an exciting player. But again, like I need to see it like in actual games, you know, and see how that goes. But yeah, clearly they want a lot from him this year.
John Michaud of The Athletic here with you on The Fan. What's your expectations for this defense as a collective?
I think it's going to be a lot, like much more improved than just taking a little step. You know, Jerry will make the jokes of like, well, it can't be any worse. We're at the bottom. And even some players have said that, but I think it'll be much improved. I am buying into the Christian Parker hype. I like the way he answers questions. I like the way he carries himself. I like the background. I like the system he's coming from and what he's done in the defensive backfields on other teams. And so, you know, to me, the only question is, you know, the game inside the game, like I said earlier about the Belichick thing, like when someone comes out and they have a plan to thwart whatever you were doing, now what is your change up? You know, what do you switch to? And I think that's where we'll really know the most about him. But up to this point, everything that he's done, said, way he carries himself, to what the other players say about him, you know, I don't think that you could have asked for a better hire.
You know, I was wondering what you thought about Christian Parker's press sessions, his media today, because I agree with you. I think the leadership and the football IQ that is underlying there is outstanding, right? And as a coach, I'm like, yeah, this is the guy. How quotable is he, though? He seems like he's very protective of information and doesn't let anything out unintentionally.
I would agree with you completely. It's funny you say that because we talked to Quinnen Williams today as well. And when we were leaving, another reporter mentioned that too, about how, you know, Quinnen is good. He'll talk to us and answer every question, but he's also good about not really saying too much. And I definitely see that in Christian Parker. To me, just from a media standpoint, I feel like Christian Parker is farther ahead than I thought somebody who's never been a defensive coordinator before would be in terms of in front of the media, you know, answering questions. I just think that he never really hesitates on an answer. It seems like he has a response ready to go for whatever is being thrown his way. And he will be guarded about certain things because he doesn't want to give away too much. Because let's be honest, that's one of his best advantages right now going into the season, is that, you know, we sit here and talk and write about, we don't know for sure what the defense is going to look like. Well, I find it very hard to believe that the rest of the NFL has it figured out as well. So I think he handles himself very well from that sense. And I thought he was really impressive today.
What are you thinking about the cornerback room right now in the health of Deron Bland going into camp?
You know, he talked a good game today. You know, he's a great guy to talk to. I was saying this when I left practice today. I'm like, man, I want nothing but success on the field for Savone Rivell and DeMarvion Overshown, because they're great to talk to. They're great media guys, but, you know, good dudes too. And you want to see them have success, because you really feel like, hey, they have everything there that's needed except the health part of it. Can they stay healthy for the full season? He certainly feels like he's past the knee injury that he had. And so the one thing I can take away from him is the same thing I did last year. It's whenever he's healthy, I can see how he would be a problem because of his size, his height, and the way he moves really doesn't, I don't know. He moves like a guy that would be shorter than he is, and he has great size. And so I'm interested to see how that works out. But when I look at that corner room as a whole, it just seems they're throwing like a lot of numbers at it. And I'm kind of sitting there going, I wonder who will emerge out of this group beyond like those top two or three guys. And with this being kind of the position group that's Christian Parker's specialty, I wonder if we get somebody who maybe we're not expecting right now to have maybe a better season than that. Who knows who that might be? I mean, obviously you're going to have a good camp, good preseason for that, but maybe that's Kalen Carson. Maybe it's Reddy Stewart. Maybe it's Darian Kendrick. I don't know, but it seemed like they wanted to go with, we're going to get a bunch of numbers. We'll see who emerges, see who fits into what Christian Parker wants to do, and we'll go from there. But there are still a lot of question marks at corner. I'm not going to lie to you. And I will not be overselling anything that happens with the corners, because one of the darlings from training camp last year was Kyrie Elam.
Yeah.
John Machota here with you on the Fan Chief.
You buying Overshown as the Mike linebacker?
I am. I'm buying it as long as he's healthy. You know, as long as he can be out there. I mean, that's the thing about the green dot. You're not going to be sitting there bringing that guy in and out of the game. You need a guy that's going to be out there all the time. And so, you know, as we've seen before with DeMarvion, when he's out there, he's a really good player. And so you would want him out there all the time. And so all of that would make sense. And I know the team thinks very highly of him. I mean, last year, late in the season, Dak Prescott said that DeMarvion Overshown was his favorite player on the team. I mean, he's very well respected in the locker room. So I think all of that bodes well for your, you know, green dot middle linebacker that you'd want leading your defense. But you obviously can't do that from the sideline. So if he's healthy, you know, that's why I look at it. If it's a perfect world and health is not an issue, I could see them going all season with DeMarvion Overshown and D Winters as the two linebackers that you see the most of. And obviously Jayshon Barham as well, working in there. But yeah, no, I can see Overshown doing it. Just can he do it for 17 games?
When we're looking at the rotations, John, is there anything that kind of surprised you? And I know that we're just trying to like be a little, you know, a little guarded about our observations and not get fooled on stuff, but were there any rotations at any position that surprised you a little bit just watching the last couple of days?
I think for me, I'm not saying it surprised me, but, and maybe you caught this more than I did. And as you know, and I'm sure you've explained your listeners, they do a good job of blocking us from seeing.
Yeah, they do a real good job of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just haven't noticed this, and maybe just because they're going through the walkthrough portion and it's not really full go, but I don't believe there's a real competition at left tackle. Okay. Like, I think it's Tyler Guyton, and if it's not Guyton, and that's a disaster, yeah, maybe they put Nate Thomas out there, but I really think if it's not Guyton, it'll end up being Tyler Smith, and then you move TJ Bass into one of those inside spots. But I just think Tyler Guyton is not going to get, like, I do believe that it is a 50-50 backup quarterback battle. I absolutely believe that.
Yeah.
But left tackle, I'm just not completely sold on that. And there's nothing I've seen in OTAs or minicamp that make me think that, you know, they're going to say that. I'm sure that Nate Thomas will get reps with the ones, and we'll see that in Oxnard. But I just really think they're going to do everything in their power for Guyton to win that job. And I kind of feel the same way with Jaden Blue as the backup running back. I don't think it's going to be this even split. They want Jaden Blue to win that job. And so those things kind of stood out defensively. Maybe Overshown on the mic thing just because of the health part of it, you know, and the green dot stuff and the way he was talking last week, because you know, they weren't talking that way.
No.
Back during free agency when they were trying to get N'Kobe Dean, you know, Devin Lloyds and guys like that, Quay Walkers. So that one is kind of new to me. I don't know that I expected that, you know, a few weeks ago. But outside of that, I mean, I feel like Caleb Downs is doing what we kind of expected him to do. I can't think of another one that really jumps out.
So we're going full George Pickens in training camp, you think? Do you want to call BS on anything that he said yesterday? Do you think that's locked in?
No, you know what I kind of thought of it as, though? It's the Jerry Jones saying, you know, he said after the first day of the draft, I believe it was, he mentioned to a group of us that, you know, that they can sign two receivers long, you know, big time, high dollar receivers and make it work that way, you know.
Yeah.
And he also said that they could do that with three defensive tackles, and one of those defensive tackles is gone. So I guess I'm bringing this up to say that, yes, everything that George said yesterday sounds good, but he also said he wasn't at OTAs because his agent told him not to, and he was listening to his agent. So how do we know that there won't come a time in training camp, before training camp, where maybe he suggested don't go to start a training camp? I don't think that will happen. I'm just saying that I'm not sitting there yesterday listening to that and going 100%. It'll be there. This is over. Book is closed. Franchise tag done. You're not going to hear any more about this until next January. Like I don't know about that. And it's not just the George side of it. It's the Dallas Cowboys side of it. And that just seems the way like how business goes with star players and the Cowboys.
Do you think they could do business with any significant players here this summer? Because I feel like the budget is not busted, and you've lost ground on the Rams.
That would be interesting, you know. I'm one of these people that still doesn't believe that Max Crosby will play for the Raiders. So
okay.
I don't know if that comes to him getting moved to the Cowboys, because if you take yourself back to when that deal was going to be made, since then they've traded for Rashawn Gary. They've used a first-round pick on Malachi Lawrence. So I can't sit here and say the roster is the same as it was then. But if they added somebody else at like linebacker, inside or outside linebacker, because like even – every day that goes by and a Jadeveon Clowney isn't signed by another team, you know, if they don't see enough from their edge rushers in training camp, I find it very hard to believe that they're just going to try and just scheme it up and not try and go get another, you know, accomplished edge rusher. So, yeah, maybe there. I don't know about the Max Crosby thing. That just seems like it would take a lot to still get him. But I don't know. I just don't think that he's going to play for the Raiders after how everything went down.
Final mini camp practice tomorrow. Then you get, what, 6-7 weeks to Oxnard? Are you going to catch this World Cup fever or what?
Man, I don't know if I can afford this World Cup fever.
I know. It's crazy.
I'm scratching my head at how everybody else can afford this. Like, especially, I could go to a match and I'm not paying the to fly and the hotel and all that. Like, I honestly am blown away. Like, I was looking into tickets that Monday game with Argentina, and like the cheapest one on SeatGeek was like $2,000. I was like, I would be interested in going. I'm not that interested in going. It is cool though. I will say, just, you know, around the Metroplex, seeing people, from all these different countries having their jerseys on and things like that. Like, it's cool. I'm not a big soccer guy, but I'm a huge sports fan. So I'm totally into it. I've watched more soccer, I feel like, in the last, you know, few days than I have in probably the last few years. So I'm all for it. I'm pretty excited. I think it's cool. And I really think AT&T Stadium, you know, I've done a couple of stadium rankings for the Athletic over the years. And it's like, I don't know, man, that thing's getting 10, 15 years old. That stadium still looks great to me.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
It looks incredible.
Sounds like you got the fever to me, John. Thank you so much for your time. Fantastic reporting as always, and we'll see you soon.
Sounds good, boys. Have a good night.
There he goes. John Machota of The Athletic here with you on 105.3 The Fan. Just crushing the beat as always. Okay, we got the Expressway coming up next. We'll take a snapshot of everything that's been developing throughout your broadcast day, hand it over to the G-Bag of the Day in LA Live, and we're back here with you on The Fan.